So which Democratic Party will win the Democratic Party's presidential nomination? Senator Kamala Harris says she is not a Democratic socialist, though she's called for Medicare for all. Bernie Sanders proudly says he is one. He's proposed making college free for those who can't afford it. Same with Senator Elizabeth Warren. But Senator Amy Klobuchar says she's not a genie. She can't promise that. Progressive or centrist? Every Democratic candidate will be asked where they stand. In our ongoing conversations with the candidates of all parties, we're joined today by Julian Castro, former mayor of San Antonio, who also served as Secretary of Housing and Urban Development under President Obama. He's hoping to be the first Latino president of the United States. Secretary Castro, Julian, welcome.
Thanks a lot for having me.
And so, where do you stand? You know, are you for expanding Medicare now just for seniors to all? Bernie Sanders has a bill before Congress that would create a single-payer system, essentially eliminate almost all private insurance. Are you down with that?
Yeah, well, what I believe we need to do is to be the smartest, the healthiest, the fairest, and the most prosperous nation on earth. So in order to become the healthiest nation on earth, we need a different healthcare system. You know, I grew up with a grandmother who had diabetes, and as her condition got worse and worse, we were very fortunate that she had Medicare. I believe that Medicare should be there for everybody.
But how do you pay for it?
That's a great question, and we're going to have to find different ways, different revenue streams to pay for it, including looking at raising the top marginal tax rate, mm-hmm. raising taxes on people that are making more than $1 million. I think that we need to ask people at the top to pay their fair share.
Well, staying with Medicare for just a second, because it's instructive. Vox is reporting that even Democrats who signed on to Bernie Sanders' bill before Congress about, you know, Medicare for all have balked at its core feature of eliminating private insurance. Kamala Harris had to come back after saying who needs insurance and say, well, there would be some private insurance. Cory Booker, who's also a presidential candidate, says he's not in favor of completely eliminating private insurance. I don't want to ask you about that specifically, but what do you think about this fight? You know, you've got the flamethrowers in Senator Warren, who just wants to sees this as a moment to take apart government. You've got Kamala Harris, who's trying to move herself more towards the center and say it's a time to bring back our faith in the institutions as they are. Do you think this is healthy?
Yeah, well, first, Robin, I'm actually interested in answering the question that
about
people
insurance?
Should know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
And then let's get on to the political question. But first, to me, what I believe is that everybody should have the ability to enroll in Medicare. If somebody wants a supplemental plan or a private plan, then I believe they should be able to do that as well. On the political end, I'm not going to get caught up in the back and forth. You know, I believe in my own vision for the future of the country that is based on what families need to thrive. More education than ever, because jobs require more skill and knowledge than ever before. They need health care. They need a justice system that is fair, no matter the color of their skin or their sexual orientation. That's what I'm going to focus on during the course of this campaign.
Look, I have to ask you, because you mentioned your grandmother, I want to talk about two things you talk about a lot, your Mexican background and your faith. They almost seem entwined. Your grandmother came to the U.S. to live with a relative when she was an orphan. Your mom, single mom, an activist. You and your twin brother, Joaquin, who serves in the 20th Congressional District in Texas, met the Pope. You know, from your grandmother's journey here as an orphan to two generations later meeting the Pope, an American story. But it comes at a time when some Americans don't trust that story as much. How do you convince those Americans who might be concerned about the first Latino president that maybe you won't be for a secure border? How do you approach them?
That what I share in common with so many Americans is the blessing of this country, that my grandmother was able to come here when she was 7 years old as an orphan and worked as a maid, a cook, and a babysitter, raised my mom as a single parent. We've lived this immigrant American dream experience. I share the belief that this country can continue to produce that kind of American dream. To answer your question, of course, I believe in a secure border, but I think that we can achieve border security and also not lose who we are. that we can be compassionate toward people.
Look, you have been one of the party's rising stars at different times now in the recent past as a young mayor of San Antonio with your keynote speech in the 2012 convention.
I don't know, Robin, if I'm supposed to feel young or old these days. You know, right. I read half the articles and I'm a young guy, and then the other half I'm a has-been.
Right. So, you know, his star rose and fell. In 2012 convention keynote speech was riveting to many people. But you've also had your critics. And this is when you were in the Obama administration at HUD. You were severely attacked. Now, there was a political bent to some of this because a lot of these groups did not want to see you be Hillary Clinton's running mate because they were backing Bernie Sanders. But still, there were accusations that at HUD, we know that after the housing crisis, there were several homes heading towards foreclosure. They were going to be put up for sale. There were a lot of groups advocating for low-income people to get those homes. You were accused of selling most of them to Wall Street. In fact, a letter was sent to you by Raul Grijalva, co-chair of the Congressional Progressive Caucus at the time. And he wrote, "Your distressed asset stabilization program designed to help right the wrongs of the meltdown years has been selling homes that once belonged to families I've spoken with at rock bottom prices to the Wall Street entities that created the situation." You were accused of turning your back on the very people you say you support, people of color and low income.
Yeah, it was a very odd attack back then. It came in the middle of the vice presidential selection process. And that program that they talked about had been around before I got to HUD. And I was actually the one that came in and said, we're going to change this. We're going to improve the program. And we did improve the program. So I just saw it as kind of an off-base, attempt by some individuals and some groups to score some political points. The other thing is that coalition, Color of Change, that was one of the organizations that had signed on to it, actually took their name off of that attack once they understood what we were already working on.
Well, you had your supporters at the time. Lori Goodman of the Urban Institute said, people didn't understand the pragmatic realities that the mortgages had to be gotten out of HUD so that HUD could use its resources for those very people who needed help because these mortgages were so bad, and you had to find buyers big enough to take them off HUD's hands. So you did have your backers, and you have others who point out the very many progressive things you've done. And that's why I want to ask you about your Catholic faith. We know that the Catholic faith is not a monolith by any means, but there are people who think that Catholicism equals being against gay marriage, being against choice and abortion. How would you overcome what may be fears about what Catholicism means to you?
Yeah, I grew up Catholic. The Catholic faith has played an integral role in my life. And at the same time, I don't think that there's a single person that doesn't have some disagreements with their faith. And so I've also been clear that I'm pro-choice. I recognize that there are people of different faiths in this country, and there are people that choose not to believe, and that our Constitution recognizes the difference between one's faith and the governance of this country.
What would be your number one issue, like day one in office, number one thing you want to focus on as president?
Well, the number one thing that I'm going to do on the afternoon of January 20th, 2021, is sign an executive order recommitting the United States to the Paris Climate Agreement. And the first major piece of legislation that my administration would submit to Congress is on universal health insurance. So those are two things that I would focus on right away. I actually believe that one of the lessons of 1993 and 1994, as well as 2009 and 2010, is that when a Democratic president has the opportunity to, with a Democratic Congress, that you shouldn't wait to push significant legislation, whether it's health care, immigration reform, other measures.
Julian Castro, former mayor of San Antonio, also former secretary of Housing and Urban Development under President Obama, current candidate to be the Democratic Party's nominee for president of the United States. Julian, thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thanks a lot, Robin.